from stpetecatalyst.com.
And we are back in the Catalyst studio for My Mayor with candidate Wengay Newton. Hello, sir.
How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing all right. How's life on the campaign trail?
Oh, it's good. I mean, it's heating up. We got 40 days left. So, and I think ballots come out next week. So we need your vote. Need you to go out and vote. And first, before we get started, I want to give a big up to the Cuban people down there fighting for their freedom. I think it's the day of the dictator is long gone. We're in 2021, and I support you. I stand behind you and fight on. It's the only thing that's going to get you free. You have to fight and make sacrifices. So I commend you and I support you. The campaign is doing good. I mean, we're coming down to it. Like I said, the last poll had me in second place, I think 6 or 7 points behind the leader. So I'm feeling good about that. But we're going to work hard. We want to earn the people's vote. We're knocking on doors. We're calling. And we also still fundraising. So if people want to help or volunteer, get involved, please do. We got about 6 or 7 events still scheduled, I think, for the rest of this month, and then some into August. And we appreciate what you guys do at St. Pete Catalyst because you're letting the people know what's going on. I remember coming in here hobbling with my new knee way back when. And I think it's a good thing to let the people know. An informed voter is the best voter, so they should know exactly what they're getting when they cast their ballot.
So today's topic, we're looking at distilling down sort of the purpose or the roles of mayor into 3 top categories. So when people are considering who to vote for, they can understand what you think are the 3 most important functions that the mayor serves. So let's dive into role or purpose or function number 1.
Well, function number 1 would be have the capacity to run the city. I mean, that's important. You have to be able to have bridges and relationship, proven track record of bridges and relationships that you demonstrated, not stuff that you're going to talk about. You have to make sure that they can look and see. And I'll tell all the voters, and all you do, Google, www.google.com, put in everybody's name. It's because 1 of 8 of us is going to be mayor. That's going to happen. But with your vote, I want that 1 of 8 to be me. But it's important that they have those relationships and they built those bridges, because you won't be able to run the city by yourself. I know, I remember Dr. Goliath Dave used to say that, and I'm still in this phrase, he said, if you go down a country road and you see a turtle up on a fence post, you know one thing, he didn't get there by himself. So I won't be doing this by myself. I won't be doing this in a vacuum. You know, I served under 3 mayors, so I know exactly what not to do and what to do. The ones that were successful and the ones that wasn't. And the importance of that was because 1 of the mayors had recession, 1 had deep recession, and 1 had surplus, which means you got all the money you need and a pile over there in case something happens. So I've been through the cuts, the deep cuts, and, you know, seeing people with so much money under the due, they're just spending it on whatever. So it's important that the mayor is the leader and being able to run the city, which is 60 square miles wide with 270,000 people. And I think it's important. Another aspect for me is that I'm born here, born and raised in Midtown South St. Pete, one of the most impoverished areas in the whole county that's been that way for the last 20 years or 5 county commission terms or 2 decades. So I know what it is to be poor. I know what this city used to be because I fished and crabbed on these walls. I know what the city, the potential that it has. I govern with 3 mayors to be able to put resources throughout this whole city. I know what works, what doesn't work. Also serve 4 years in the legislature. That's important because now you have another level of government to understand what happens there and the relationships and bridges that I built there to be able to go up there and lobby with my colleagues and bring home much needed resource. I'm also the only one that's a member for life. What that means is when the legislature's in session, I get to go up there as mayor day 1, step on the floor and work with my colleagues that I build relationships and bridges with and bring home much needed resources. To give you a prime example, that is what's happening now with our sewer rates. We're paying 43% increase. That's on the backs of the people. When we have infrastructure money in Tallahassee, which we wouldn't be able to draw down, but because the current administration pokes the current legislature and the governor, they don't have any resources up there. So a lot of the appropriations and stuff they fight for that we need gets vetoed. So you need to have those relationships. You've got to work with them. The mayor has to be able to work with everybody, party aside, race, color, creed, sexual orientation aside, you have to be able to work with everyone for the greater good of the city and the citizens in this beautiful St. Pete.
And you mentioned the current mayor made a couple pokes at the administration in Tallahassee. And, you know, the ability to do that is now really amplified on social media. And that whole mechanism of all the different voices that come in there, the pressures that can be exerted on folks in different arenas plays into the relationship aspects. You've mentioned the relationship aspects, you know, a number of times. How has that evolved? How has your relationship building had to evolve from, you know, the deep roots you've put historically in being there, sort of just looking people in the eye and having those relationships, to now having this extra layer of transparency? You know, not in the sense of not being transparent, but just the lens being, you know, where anybody can step up and put their voice out there.
Right. Well, those relationships have evolved for me because I hail, like I said, from the most impoverished area. My mom raised 8 kids on government subsidies. You know, food stamps, welfare, government cheese, free lunch, reduced lunch, summer jobs, after-school jobs. You're looking at it. But everything I'm not made me everything that I am. And I took full advantage of every opportunity to help realize my full potential. But coming from where I come from, 18 years in corporate America with Xerox, I got a PhD in, I guess, ghetto, because that's where I was born and raised. And then I got 12 years of consecutive governance with city level and on the state level. I saw that you cannot be partisan. It's going to take the entire village to make sure we move this whole city forward, to get rid of the seams, that so everyone can benefit and live a fulfilling life and be able to live in St. Pete. And if you look at it, it's not happening that way. We got people moving in from outside that can pay more for a home that's it's killing your ability to be able to buy a home. So now you got to go somewhere else where you can afford to buy a home. So we got to make sure we focus on helping everybody. To give you a prime example of some of the things I was talking about for relationships, when you have an administration that's constantly critical of what's happening with the governor, whatever he does, that's not a good thing, because you got you pay a lobbyist $500,000 or $1 million, I don't know what they're paying, to go up there and lobby for your needs for the city. Then you get the senators and representatives from your area to carry those appropriations to try to get them into the budget. Once they get them into the budget, the only person that can stop that from money from coming home is the governor, because he has the veto pen for line item veto. So if I punch you in the face, chances are if I don't get beat up, you're not going to loan me $20. So you can't constantly poke someone on every little thing and expect them to help you with resources coming back to your city. And because he was unable to get those resources for sewer infrastructure, we had a 43% increase on our seniors. Think about that. Seniors live on a fixed income. Where are they going to find 43% more? It's going to be 40% less food, 43% less medicine. I learned a long time ago, working under Mayor Baker, working with Mayor Foster and under Mayor Chrysler, that you have got to work with everyone to get things done. The successes we had in Midtown under Mayor Baker was with a majority Democratic council. It's always been a majority Democratic council. Mayor Baker's a Republican. Partisanship never saw its way into it. So over the years, Joe, I evolved to see, I don't see party, I don't see color, I don't see race, creed, or sexual orientation. And all I see is getting things done for the people in the area of greatest neglect and for the least of thee. That's what I'm all about. That's where I hail from. I know how to do that. I know how to make it work. And when you vote for me, we're going to get that done.
Thank you. All right, let's move on to number two on the list.
Number two would be, you have to be the biggest cheerleader. We're the fifth largest city in the whole state. So you have got to be able to go out and promote your city, and also bring in much needed resources. Be a part of the region. You know what I'm saying? When I go to a Congressional Black Caucus, I meet people from all over the country, because I want to be able to get on the phone and call them and find out some of the best practices and things they're using to be able to bring them back, implement them in my city. So you're going to have to be able to go out there, be the biggest cheerleader, network, and let people know how great St. Pete is. But at the same time, you're going to have to go out there and probably try to work to bring back much needed resources. That's important. You know, you're going to hear a lot of people talk about creating more government. That's fine. But the problem is what that's going to do to the people that's in need. As mayor, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to talk about how beautiful our city is, our beautiful waterfronts. I want them to bring high-paying, living-wage jobs here, because that's what's going to be important. Also, I want them to relocate their businesses there, because that's going to help our bottom line. The more resources and the more revenue we can get coming into the city, the less we have to tax you. So that's important. So I'm going to go out there. I'm going to advocate for our major league sports, our Rays. I'm going to advocate for our Buccaneers, our Lightning, you know, our soccer team. And hopefully as a region, we can fight and try to get a basketball team here. So I think that's part of what the mayor has to do. And that's going to be more important to me as we go forward. And I take over as mayor of the city of St. Pete.
And when you look at being a cheerleader and bringing resources into the community, there's a couple different fronts that you're working on there. There's the economic one, the political one. So obviously we have reps heading up to Tallahassee on the economic side. We have the EDC. We have Visit St. Pete Clearwater. So, you know, given the sort of chessboard as it exists now, what are some strategies that you would bring if elected mayor to add to either bringing them together more or adding new types of entities to accomplish that?
Well, the strategy I bring as mayor from having 8 years of St. Petersburg local city governors and then 4 years in the legislature is that I want to educate those individuals on being more proactive in getting things done in those different divisions, the tourism. As you know, they're taking money from our bed tax, and because they're not being proactive in doing stuff in their local jurisdiction, you have more legislation coming down from Tallahassee that want to do other stuff with that money. So my advice to you and what I would present to them as mayor is that we need to do more stuff proactively to get our economy back on track, our economy back open, to get our people back in jobs, to get more tourists coming here, because Florida's a tourism state. Also, on a governance level, be forward-thinking and get ordinances and stuff in place, because I know that the only protection we have from the legislature is grandfathering. So if they don't wipe out grandfathering, that's the only protection you're going to have, because everything the legislature does preempts. I mean, people always talk about that, but I know the effects of what happens on both sides. And usually the preemption that people are screaming about is inactivity of the people here on the ground to get those things that are needed done. So I would encourage them, from my experience I bring to the table, to let's do this. Let's think outside the box. Let's be creative. Let's do it big. Let's get a lot of stuff done. Because if you're doing that, then that leaves less room for the legislature to say, okay, since they ain't doing that, let's do this, you know? They say the most dangerous time is those 60 days when they're in session. And they're right, because they'll find something to do if you're not proactively doing it yourself. And I bring that experience to be able to speak to that on two levels of governance, and also to get that done for our protection here for the resources that we have.
Thank you. All right, let's hit the final thing on the final item.
The final one is to be a people person. If I love anything about my mayor, Mayor Baker, is that, you know, every parade he would walk the whole parade. He would shake every hand. You know what I'm saying? He was more people person. He was accessible. He was caring. He had compassion for the least of these. I mean, to this day, he walks into a room and it just takes all the air out of the room. And he's a mayor, I think two mayors since him. But that shows you the character of being able to be accessible and caring about the people. He genuinely loves this city, which I do. I was born and raised here. You keep me hearing me talking about Midtown, South St. Pete, the most impoverished area for the last 20 years. People, some of them get tired of living, hearing that. But, you know, early in my political career, people told me, stop saying that. Don't say that, because people think you were poor. I was poor. But I also want the people to see the potential, given the opportunities of what could be. Also, I'm accessible. I have people calling me now on my cell phone. They said, I can't believe it. You still answer. You still know my name to this day. And I told them, yes. When I was on council, I saved in my bottom drawer. Our receptionist got messages for us, and I saved and returned every call and every message, good, bad, and other. And I would save them in the drawer. What I would do, one of my secrets was, I would call the people back in the evenings, like 6, 7 o'clock in the evening, because that's when they're home. I won't call them back during business hours, because some of them, they're at work, and they really want to talk to you. I've done that on the council. I've done that in the legislature, and people are blown away. I called a guy one night, 8 o'clock from Tallahassee, because he had left me a message. And he was like, honey, it's the representative. He's on the phone. He was blown away. It wasn't a staff person. It was me. And I watched that, and I learned that from serving under mayors like Mayor Baker, you've got to be passionate. You got to care about, genuinely care about the people. Because when the people know you care, they're going to stick with you through hell and high water. And that's what it's all about. We're all in this together. We all live in this city. It's a beautiful city. We just have a lot of scenes, and everybody cannot participate in the current state. So we have to find a way moving forward to make it all inclusive and diverse. And I'm going to do that. I mean, I come from that. So.
And you have this joy, authenticity, vulnerability that exudes out of you, which you've developed over many years. You know, that's a tougher journey for other folks because of just not having been able to do that yet. As an example of this ideology, what can you do to infuse that into the city staff? As a first level goal, and then even into the community as a next level goal.
Well, I'm going to lead the same way I did. I'm going to listen, learn, and lead. And the way I infuse that in the city staff is lead by example. I would never ask them to do anything that I wouldn't do, like I did with my house staff. I would all ask them that. I remember when we had in the early stage of this global coronavirus pandemic, people were losing their jobs and their savings were drying up. They didn't know how they were going to feed their families. We did these food share lines where we gave people food, and those lines were Range Rovers, Mercedes-Benz, Lexuses, SUVs, and all that. And it was like you saw a different aspect and reflection of people. You didn't see rich or poor, young or old. You saw people in need. So I told my staff, when the people call in, listen. Just listen, because understand that we're having a problem in Tallahassee. They can't get through. We're the only person that's picking up the phone. So listen to them. Let them vet. They're going to be upset. I say, but you got to put yourself in their shoes. When you put yourself in their shoes, you can understand what they're going through. And it helps you better to help them. And we got thousands of letters back because we helped over 3,000 or 4,000 people get their unemployment, get SNAP benefits. And they were very appreciative because no one would answer the phone. Nobody cared. When I was on council, I was big on this, Joe, because I used to have a lot of department heads come in with the awards they would win in water resources or sanitation, and the top people would come in and smile, and this is what we won, and they're saying we like they're French. But I know we mean the people that actually doing the work. So I told them, I appreciate what you're doing, but go out and bring in the people that actually got the award. And we got the whole water resources staff right there in council taking a group picture. Because those are the ones that are putting in the work. When I served on PSCA, my colleagues hated it. Because at the end, each person has a closing comment. My closing comment was reading everybody that got an accommodation or recommendation on that PSTA transit system. And I was sitting there and read every one of their names and the accommodation they got. And I tell them, bear with me while I hold up your name, but charge it to my head and not my heart. And I heard people come up to me and go, man, my mama heard you mention her name. She was so happy. It's just things you can do. It's not all monetary. It's not all monetary. You got to be able to exhibit the fact that you can lead and people will follow. But you also got to let them know you care. Every promotional ceremony that we had, I was there celebrating everybody's milestone within the city government. Every police swearing-in ceremony, I was there greeting the people as they came in. If no one else was there, I was there. Every firefighter graduation ceremony, I was there. When the people know that you'll go out there and you'll lead, then they'll follow. And I'm going to do just that. That's what I learned over the years. That's what I learned serving under Mayor Baker. You know, I watched him in my early years back in 07 when we had a problem with Clam Bayou, environmental problem. And I saw all the politicians stand up and get speeches and all when all the news trucks and the lights were there. But once the news trucks and the lights left, they took off. I saw Mayor Baker put on waiters, okay? Him and his whole staff, the city staff, went into Clam Bayou, start picking up trash. He took his son, and his son, Jake, was with him, picking up trash in Clam Bayou, the mayor of St. Pete. So I'm a candidate running for city council. Me and my son followed him in there because I said he must be onto something. But I watched him not just talk about it, be about it, but also saw politicians that will give you nice speeches that have been written for them or nice slogans and talking points. And they'll say that, but when the cameras are, they can do the entire opposite. I don't do that. I live it, and I'm going to exemplify that as I lead these 2,800 employees. I don't know how many we got now because it's been ebb and flow, but as I lead them, no matter their race, color, creed, sexual orientation or their status. Everybody's important to me because everybody makes this city go. And I'm going to let them know that like I always done. Yeah, no, it's important. I mean, you have to, like I said, you have to lead by example. Listen, learn, and lead. And then the people follow. You know, I saw, like I said, different mayoral styles and I saw what worked. And I saw what people were attracted to. People just generally love, they love Mayor Baker. And Mayor Baker was deeply involved with them, their lives, their families. And I'm going to do the same. I mean, I've been doing it. That's where I learned it from. I learned that from the first mayor I served with, which was Mayor Rick Baker. And I want to thank him for his service, all the things he did for Midtown in the area where I grew up at, including that grocery. That grocery store was huge for me because my mom and I, we used to jump on a city bus, all eight of us, and it's all we can carry to bring back to Southside St. Pete because we didn't have a grocery store with fresh fruits and vegetables. That meant the world to me. I know a lot of people think that, oh, just the grocery store. No. No, we shopped in corner stores. That was huge. The only other grocery store we had was Katz Groceries, and that was in the Dome Industrial area that got plowed under for the interstate and baseball. So, but I thank you guys again, Joe, for what you're doing because this is important. People need to know, and hopefully over the videos you saw me evolve, you know my true self, you know my true soul. And it's not speeches because I don't believe in doing that. It's, you know, that's going to be good for nothing. I think there will come a time for that, but I like talking to the people. I want them to see my heart. I want them to know that it's coming from me so they'll know what I'm going to do, and I'll be responsible for that.
Wonderful. Appreciate it. See you again. I think episode 10, we're hitting double digits next in a couple weeks, and I will look forward to catching up with you then.
All right. Thank you, Joe.
From stpetecatalyst.com.